This is Chapter 18 of The War on Waste Paradox by Len Bertain, read by Len Bertain. Monday morning rolled around quickly. Dr. LB was going to get us going on a discussion of lead time. Everybody was starting to pull together. We had met over the weekend for a presentation to Mr. Grimes next Monday. We had many of the details of our cell layout pretty well defined. Gus and Tony had some other commitment over the weekend and weren't able to join us, but Phil met with us and helped quite a bit. We have figured out how we would install the ball lock system and had several fixtures already designed. Phil said that the issues of lead time and further explanations of Kanban would help us, so all of us were interested in Monday's class. As I walked through the shop that morning, I noticed something was different. It suddenly hit me that something had been moved. My table at my work area had been moved. As I entered the meeting room, Tony and Gus were smiling. Class was just getting started and they were ready for Dr. Elby, who came in 1 minute late and wrote 24 late minutes on the board, as there were 24 people in the room. I think we were going to win that bet with him without any problem. As he got to the front of the class, he looked at Tony and said, are you ready for your announcement? Yes, we are. Tony stood up and said, over the weekend, Gus, Frank, Jim, Phil, a representative of our machinery dealer, and I came in and installed the ball lock plates and system on all the milling machines in our shop. We installed the system on 17 machines in all. We wanted to surprise everybody. It was a lot of work to keep our plan a secret, but we were ready. Gentlemen, start your engines. I hadn't seen anyone this excited in a long time. Tony, the tool and die people, had really succeeded in surprising us. We're ready to run the job and the top 15 jobs that we do out there. Now, we really wanted to surprise him. And Tony and Gus pointed to me. You were our inspiration. We called this project Operation Charlie in honor of your friend. It was a success, we think, and we want you to start the first job. We'll time you and start posting the setup results as they come in on Calvin's board. I knew the ball lock system would work. Tony and Gus had worked hard to mill the plates and drill all the lock holes precisely to position. They had to do this for 17 machines. Tony sat down, smiling at his accomplishment. He really had bags under his eyes, but he wasn't going to bed until he had seen that first setup. Everyone's attention turned to Dr. Albee and class resumed. I was really having a hard time concentrating because I was beginning to think of what I was going to do to make that first part. Dr. LB asked me, do you remember reading the goal? I said, yes, I do. And he asked me again, do you remember the story about Herbie? Again, I did, and I smiled. I guess the answer is yes. For those of you who haven't read it, please read the goal. Dr. LB put copies for everyone in the back of the room. Buck got up to get his copy, and Dr. LB said, you could pick it up after class, and Buck sat down. The reason I want you to read the book is that there are many things of interest in this book. The story I find most interesting that relates to what we're doing here is the story of our hero trying to manage a group of Boy Scouts on a hike. How many in this room have ever tried to take a group of boys on a hike that ended in an overnight? Several hands went up, and Dr. Albee said, good, you might really appreciate this story. Anyway, the hero of the goal is stuck as a lone leader of a group of Boy Scouts. He is trying to get them to their destination and is blessed with Herbie. Every Boy Scout troop in America has a Herbie. He's the fat little kid who's always dragging along in the rear of any activity. You might have 35 world-class athletes in your troop, but somehow you have to accommodate Herbie. he can't keep up with the other boys. So guess what? Our hero figures out a solution to the problem. As it stands, he has some boys who can cover 6 miles in an hour. Herbie can only walk 3 miles in an hour. If he lets the troop go 2 hours, what is our hero's problem? Tony knew about this, and he was a leader of Troop 6. He said, after 2 hours, he's going to have kids spread over 6 miles. And believe me, that is a problem. I've usually dealt with it by telling everyone to slow down to Herbie's pace, but after a while they get bored and start cranking it up. How does our hero solve this problem? He puts Herbie in the front of the line. No one can pass Herbie. They can only go as fast as the slowest person. Does that relate to what goes on in the factory? Bonnie liked this question. Yeah, it does, Dr. Elby. It's just what bottlenecks do in a factory. Herbie is just like the slowest process in the shop. We can't run the factory any faster than or the slowest process. I still remember this from school. If we have 5 steps in a cycle to make any object, and 4 steps take 1 minute, and the 5th step takes 5 minutes, while the other parts stop dropping off the assembly line every 5 minutes. It doesn't make any difference how fast one process is. You can't go any faster than the slowest one, just like Herbie. Dr. Elby clapped, "Bravo, Bonnie. Do you know what we call this process?" She looked puzzled, but answered, "Herbie measurement?" Someone else said, "No, let's call it the Herbie process." Mr. Grimes bellowed out, "No, this is Herbie analysis." "Yep, this is Herbie analysis. You're right, and that's what we call it. It's easy for people to understand." Let's take the example Bonnie just gave us. Suppose we had 5 steps in a process. Dr. Elby went to the board and wrote step 1 1 minute, step 2 1 minute, step 3 5 minutes, step 4 1 minute, step 5 1 minute. How long would it make to make the first piece when you start up this production line? Someone yelled out, 9 minutes. Okay. Now, after the first piece comes down the line, how long will it take for the second piece? Tony wanted to get involved in the conversation, but he was tired, and he said, 9 minutes. Dr. Elby asked him, "How did you arrive at that?" "Well, it takes 9 minutes to get the first piece through the line, and it'll take the same time for the second piece." "Did you consider the queue of products that are already in the line?" Tony said he didn't. So Dr. Elby went on, "Tony, walk each product through the system. When can we start the second piece at the 3rd operation? "Only after it is finished with the first piece." "Oh, I see it now. There's a bottleneck in the 3rd operation, and the second part will wait there for 4 minutes. The 3rd part will wait," and he thought, "8 minutes, and that creates the bottleneck. I see this." Does everybody see this? Dr. Elby scanned the room and saw Buck raise his hand. "I see what Tony was saying, but can't you speed the process up by moving the operation to the last step?" Dr. Elby was very patient, and he knew this question. You could tell that he wanted everyone to understand what was going on, and he spent time showing Buck that didn't make any difference where you put the bottleneck. If it was a bottleneck, it controlled the process speed. So it turned out that Bonnie was correct. Nothing can go faster than the slowest operation. Dr. Elby was trying to move the discussion to a specific product. We had discussed the 255 MT on several occasions, so he picked this one again. He asked Mr. Grimes what the lead time was for it. "I think it's close to 12 weeks. We get the order and try to process it in 6 weeks, but we are always late." "Wouldn't you say that we're never on time with that product?" Roland, who had missed a few classes in order to make out-of-time calls, perked up. He was trying to pay attention, but he was distracted by something. He waited a few seconds before responding to Mr. Grimes. "Oh, we're so late with this product, they were about to lose a big customer. We missed shipping a big order on time, and it caused them some credibility problems with one of their customers. If this was the first time, it really wouldn't be a problem, but it happens over and over with them." We've got to do something about this. Dr. Elby asked what sounded like a really dumb question. If you could solve the problem for late shipments, is there any more business potential for us at that company? Oh, yeah. We could double our shipment of product if we could ship in 6 weeks. What could you do if you could ship in 2 weeks? Brolin said, well, that's impossible, but we would have a very happy customer, and boy, would I ever be a happy Roland. I could rule the world. Dr. Elby smiled and said, well, let's see if we can make Roland the emperor and shoot for a 2-week shipment goal from receipt of order. Now, what is the actual manufacturing time for this order? How long would it take to make one unit from scratch if I had all the parts I needed, if I didn't have to wait for any of the machines, and if my tester and painting booth were all ready for me? Mr. Grimes answered, Gus and Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you say about 45 minutes? Tony said, no, Mr. Grimes, it's only about 30 minutes. Many of the operations are only 10 or 15 seconds, but we have large queues at every operation. I think it's only 30 minutes. Dr. Elby said, why don't we answer the question by actually going through the 255MT process? Does that make sense? That's the end of Chapter 18, Part 1. Looking forward to see you in Part 2.